morning and welcome to all. We're glad that you are here. We, as has been stated earlier, with joy, we appreciate visitors who find time to locate us and to come and worship with us at every opportunity they may have. And we're glad that you are here today and invite you back to meet and to worship with us whenever you possibly can. Mike Sandor handed me a note. He said that his dad, Al Sandor, got hot and passed out yesterday, and he's in Cullman Regional Hospital for tests. May come home today, but we need to remember Al as well as a result of his being hospitalized today. So we've got several in the hospital or rehab. We've got them scattered out, so we've got a lot of praying that needs to be done and searching and see if there's help that we can give to those who may need the help and support of the families at this time. We certainly are concerned about those that are sick and not doing well right now. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you again today, as Tim and his family are out of town this week, and we hope that they will have a good journey and will return safely to us, and that he will be able to be back into the pulpit with us next Lord's Day. You know, when we think about man and our needs, one of the great basic needs of man is approval. Whether it is the husband wanting the approval of the wife, or the wife wanting the approval of the husband, or needing it, and the work and the action that they may be carrying on in the home, approval is really important and necessary. Children really seek approval. So many times they'll make a little picture and you can't tell what it is, but they'll tell you what it is. And they want you to tell them that it's good. They want your approval. And all the time as they begin to mature and grow and go through school, we find that they're seeking approval. Approval of the parents. That they're doing well, that they're doing what they need to be doing. At work, it is a desire to try to gain the boss's approval and the work that we do in providing the manufacturing world or whatever it may be that we are doing and the kind of job that we may have. It's important for us to strive to have the approval of the boss at work. And so we understand that we live in a world where we're wanting people to approve us, that we're doing something that's good, that we're doing it in the right way. And so we strive in so many different ways and so many things to try to gain approval that we're doing it right, that we're pleasing in what we're doing. Well, Paul says there's an approval that we need to strive for and to have. He reminds us that God's approval is necessary, and that the approval of God is the most important approval that we can gain in this life. And it's important for us to strive for God's approval. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and in verse 15, Paul writes that study, some translations say, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Here is a challenge that is given, a challenge to strive to present ourselves to God for His approval. It is important that we have God's approval, because only when we have God's approval can we have a hope of the eternal reward that He has promised to those who are faithful unto Him. And so this morning I'd like for us to study a little while the idea of the man that is approved of God. And I'm using the word man here in a sense of mankind. Women strive for the approval of God. And I don't want this to sound like it's just the men that have to strive for God's approval. All of mankind should be striving for the approval of God. And I think this is the sense in which I want you to comprehend this and what God means, Paul means in his writings many times, when he says man is to do this and to do that, it has to do with mankind. All who would follow God need to be able to obey those commands and follow those instructions. When we start seeking the approval of God, let's look first at some negative things, the negative side. Those who do not gain God's approval. One would be the sinless perfect. Anybody who thinks he is sinlessly perfect, that he has never sinned, that he's kept all of God's laws all of the time, is saying and clinging to something that is not possible. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also, we read in 1 John, the first chapter, first in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so, we cannot gain God's approval by saying to him that we are perfect, that we have not violated his law in any way. And so, we cannot gain God's approval by thinking that we're sinlessly perfect. The one who commends himself is someone else that's not approved of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and in verse 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The idea is that a lot of times we think that if I'm doing something that I like and I enjoy, that I am telling God, you approve of this because I approve of it. That's not so. Just because I approve of something in my life does not mean that God approves of it. And so just because I'm commending myself for what I may be doing, it may be something that is rejected by God and is not pleasing in his sight. The self-righteous Pharisee that Mark read about a few moments ago in Luke, the 18th chapter, and verse 9, between the Pharisee and the publican, and how the Pharisee told how religious he was and how good he was and all that he did and everything. And the publican just smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said that was the one that was justified in sight of God, and not the one who was so self-righteous and commending himself about how religious and how good and how wonderful, how much better he was than the other man. That's not the way God saw it. And so, one who is continually commending themselves to God and telling God how good, God sees the heart. He knows the intent. And so, that won't work. And so, the self-righteous Pharisee illustrates to us that God does not approve of someone who is commending themselves. The man or the person who is approved by others is not always approved by God. Just because everybody else likes a person or likes an individual or likes something that someone is saying does not mean that God approves of it. They see only the outward appearance. They only see what is on the surface. They cannot see the intent. They cannot see the emotion or the heart that is involved in it. And so, just because a lot of people are approving of something or someone or some statement or some action does not mean that God approves of it, because they're only looking at the outward appearance. You remember when God was having Samuel to select a new king to replace King Saul? And he comes to the house of Jesse. And he sees one of David's brothers who is tall, handsome, really is striking. I think maybe this appealed to Samuel because Saul was a big man, head above all those in Israel. And so he said, well, this man fits the form of the last one we had. And so we read in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, But the Lord looketh on the heart. When we start looking on the outward appearance of someone, if we're trying to look at who everybody is approving, we're going to find ourselves following after religion that has its basis on people, on characters, on individuals, on their thoughts and their ideas, and not a religion that's based upon God's Word and what God wants and what God desires. In the 16th chapter of Luke and verse 15, and he said to them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Oh, we have people in history and people today who highly esteem things as the most wonderful thing that's come to mankind, and yet it is totally and completely condemned by God's Word. Whether it's open fornication, whether it's homosexuality, whatever it may be in those things that the world just seems to think it is something that's glorious and wondrous. God says those things can be an abomination unto Him. And so just because everybody is praising something and looking toward something as good and right does not mean that God approves it. And so when the majority is saying something is right and good, don't accept it. Look to the Scriptures. See if God's accepting what is being taught and what is being done. Whether or not it has God's approval or not. But God does not approve that which is of something that is against His will. And so God does not approve the one who claims to be sinlessly perfect. God does not approve the one who commends himself. God does not approve of the man who are those who are approved by others just because the majority approves of someone. These do not justify someone in the eyes of God. Those are some of the negatives that we might look at when we start trying to be approved of God. Things that will keep us from being approved by God. But let's go to the positive side of it now. The things that God would approve. Who is it that God would approve? Well, first of all, He is one who works, one who is diligent, one who is willing to do the Lord's will and to be laboring at that work the best of his ability. In our passage that began with study, to show thyself approved of God, I said that some translations give the idea of give diligence. Well, if you study, there's a lot of diligence that's involved in that. But to give diligence is something that the American Standard Version says, and it is defined as saying involves a hastening and an exertion. In other words, consider it as being something as important that needs to be dealt with quickly, and at the same time, a lot of effort needs to be put into it. And so when we are to give diligence to something, we are to be at it as quick as we can, and we are to put our all into it as we try to do what God would have us to do and to be. This idea of hastening suggests urgency. Don't put it off. Well, I'll do it later. I'll do some other time. The idea is give diligence. It's something that needs to be handled. Take care of it now. Get busy with it. And so he says we need to be busy in that way. Don't put it off. Exertion means that we have to work at it. We have to put some time into it. We have to be involved in it. And so when he begins to tell us who's going to be approved by God, it's the one who is a diligent person. He is someone who is willing to get at the job and do it quickly and do it to the best of his effort. Put a lot of exertion, a lot of effort into what he is doing. Thus, the man must do something to be approved of God. The lazy, the lethargic, the one who is not willing to do anything but just be present, one who's not willing to join in the work and be a part of the work, that person is not doing anything. And that's not approved by God. God approves the person who is willing to work, who is willing to put forth effort in serving Him. He wants laborers in the vineyard that work and labor hard. He wants soldiers in the army that are brave and courageous and will go into the battle. These are the type of people that he wants and desires. This is what he wants to be. This is who he approves. This is what is important to him in his life. Paul's aim must be our aim. He told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in verse 9, as the Holy Spirit directs him, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him," that's God. The idea is, Paul understood that we labor. If I'm with you or not with you, these people, he says, the important thing is that we labor so that we may be accepted of God. Don't just labor, as it says in other places, when the boss is looking. Do it all the time. God's looking. God approves. That's when it's important. It must be ours, that we strive to be accepted by God. That's an aim that will motivate us to be diligent, to be putting forth great effort in serving God. Pleasing God is not something that comes accidentally. It is something that we work at. It is something that we have to put effort into. Trying to please God promotes steadfastness, abounding in the Lord's work. Why are you laboring? Why are you serving in the Lord's kingdom? Why are you a member of the Lord's family? You want God's approval. And how are you going to get that approval? By being lazy and negligent? Or is it going to get God's approval when you are putting forth effort to serve Him, and when you're faithful and trying to do things that are right and good in His service that are within your ability to do so? We must be abounding in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Over and over, Paul reminds us and others that he would write to, it's important that we labor in the vineyard. It's important that we work in the church. It's important that we serve Him diligently, dedicatedly, the best that we possibly can. The need of God's people today is a willingness to work. I'm going to meddle a little bit now. We have personal work groups. Each group has about 30 names in it, give or take one or two. When that group meets in the room back there on one Sunday night a month for about 15 minutes, usually about 5 or 6, at most 8, 10. Do you not have time to consider your brethren that may be weak? You may know some of them. You may not know about some of them. But it's an effort to strengthen and encourage and build up our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we don't have time to work for 10 minutes a month. Take a little time to show an interest. I wonder if that kind of dedication is approved by God. I wonder if He wants all of us to strive and to put forth an effort and do the very best that we possibly can. All of us covet God's approval, but few are willing to work for God's approval. Yes, I want God to love me. I want God to approve what I'm doing. But I don't want to put forth any effort. I don't want to have to waste any of my personal time. I don't want to have to miss this or miss that. I just want to be identified, be a part. But the working part, turn that over to somebody else. Let somebody else take part in it. I want God's approval, and I believe you do too. I think all of us want God's approval, or we wouldn't be here today. But we need to understand it doesn't come accidentally. that if we want God's approval, we're going to have to work for it. We're going to have to do what He tells us to do in so many different areas. Someone else who's approved of God is one who handles God's Word aright, who properly handles God's Word. This suggests the idea of we use God's Word carefully, with carefulness, that we're sure of what the Bible says, that we're willing to study and to learn, to make sure that we're making proper applications. It's not to be twisted. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16, Peter warns about those who will twist the Scriptures to their destruction and those who will misuse it. He says we need to be careful about those, that many of those who do that are unlearned and ignorant. And so we don't need to be in that class. We need to make sure that we don't twist God's Word, that we don't do it by misapplication, by taking a passage and applying it to something that it doesn't apply to, by taking it out of context and trying to make it say something that is out of context with where it is written. We need to understand the context of something. We need to understand the proper application of a passage of Scripture. And we need to make sure that we don't use the Scriptures for the wrong motive. A lot of times people use Scripture for the purpose of justifying their position rather than going to the Scriptures just to see what the Bible says. And so we go to the Scriptures to justify a position rather than to seek the truth, then we may leave something out and misapply something. So let's be sure that when we study the Scriptures that we have the right motive, that we want to know what is true, and that will answer the problems and the questions that is there that may be dealt with. And so, let's not misuse the Scriptures, but use them properly. The one who handles God aright involves speaking it in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking. That's what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the Word. Be in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means that we need to be willing to do it at all times, that there involves things that are not pleasant. Rebuking is not, reproving is not pleasant. Exhorting, encouraging people, being patient in doing so, that takes effort. That's important. You do it when they like it and when they don't like it. You do it because God's Word says to do it. And you teach it because you do it out of love. You do it out of concern for the souls. It means to apply it to all, including ourselves. That we make sure that when we make application of God's Word, that we don't talk about they and them, and it's got to be me too. All of us have to be involved in that and make sure that we apply God's teaching to our lives just as we want others to apply it to their lives. It is important to do that in order to have God's approval. Always remember the source, the power, and the purpose of the Scriptures. They are from the mind of God. They reveal His great power to us and His purpose. God revealing His mind to mankind, that man might know Him and know how to gain His approval. It's important for us. God approves as one who approves of God's ways. You know, there are a lot of people who are religious today who don't approve of God's ways, but they consider themselves religious because they want to follow their own ways. It is inconsistent to seek God's approval while we don't approve of God's terms of pardon. I want God's forgiveness, but I don't want to be baptized. I won't have to make a confession. I just want to believe, and that's all I want to do. Well, you can't have God's approval with not obeying all of God's terms that are involved in salvation of the soul and what the gospel says we must do in order to be saved. It tells us that faith is necessary. It tells us that we must repent of our sins. It tells us that we must confess our faith before men, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we must be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. If we want God's approval, we can't leave a one of those things out. To leave any one of them or more than one out will not gain God's approval, because we've removed that which He says that we must do, that one must obey. If we don't approve of God's church as it's revealed in the New Testament, independent autonomous congregations with elders and deacons in each congregation, that's God's plan. If a man starts binding them together and making super organizations among a religious group, they've left God's plan and they won't have God's approval, because that plan is not approved by God in His Word. When they don't concur with or approve God's ways of carrying out the work of the church, that which is involved in worshiping God, if they're not willing to perform or follow after what God's Word says we must do to do His work and what the work of the church is, if we're not willing to worship Him in the way that the Scripture says that we're to worship Him, then we'll not seek God's approval. We'll not be seeking God's approval in the right way, and we'll not have God's approval. We must do the work that God gave the church to do, and we must worship Him the way that He commands us to do in the pages of His Word. When we do that, then He approves of our worship. He approves of the work that we're carrying out in the service of the Lord. He tells us in Philippians 1 and verse 10 that we're to approve the things that are excellent. He tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 to hold fast to the things that are good. He rejects all that God does not authorize. It's so important. God approves of a man or a person, an individual, who rejects that which someone is advocating that God does not authorize. We must let God's Word authorize our actions, our faith, in serving Him in a way that has His approval. No religion is worth practicing that does not seek God's approval in every respect. In every way. Does your religion seek God's approval? Or does your religion just seek your approval and not God's approval? Which is it? Do you only do those things that you approve of? Or all of the things that God's Word tells us that we must do to be pleasing in His sight? Does your religion seek God's approval or what everybody else is doing? What the rest of the religious world is caught up in and how they are going about the work of religion, is that more important to you than what God says? Well, are you seeking everybody else's approval or God's? What do you base it on? May we all seek God's approval. Seek God's approval in all things, working diligently at life God's way. Understanding that God's way brings His approval. Have you obeyed the gospel plan of salvation? That's God's approved way. That has God's approval. That will make you approved in God's sight. Have you been faithful in serving Him, living diligently? That brings God's approval. Faithfully serving Him. But if you haven't, and you've fallen away, have not conducted yourself in such a way that's right in the sight of God, but brought reproach on the body of Christ, then you need to repent, confessing those sins, and pray to God for forgiveness. God's approval. That's what you and I should be always, constantly, on a daily basis, striving for. In the way we treat our neighbor, in the way we treat our family, the way we treat our jobs, and the way that we live our daily lives, especially in the way that we worship and serve God. We must have God's approval so that we may be pleasing in His sight.
If you're here this morning and need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, we certainly pray that you'll come.